Let us turn to the book of John, chapter 14, and verse 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 6. A very simple message today, but I trust it will remind us of the eternal things of God. John, chapter 14, and verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The title of the message is Jesus, the meaning of life. Jesus, the meaning of life. Praise God. I want to submit to you that probably the greatest challenge facing people in the Western world, in the affluent part of the world today, is it is not the threat of war. It is not the threat of disease. It is not all the things that the newspapers keep talking about. But it is simply the fact that there is a crisis in the meaning of life. A crisis in the meaning of life. This explains why the richer people seem to become, the more they seem to become addicted to certain destructive habits. Many or some end up in rehabilitation, addicted to drugs, alcohol. We hear in the news about pop moguls, singers like, what's his name, P. Diddy. If you haven't followed with this, you haven't missed out on anything. But basically, the parties that he used to hold were filled with debauchery, filled with wickedness of the worst imaginable kind. Here are multimillionaires, and now there's a whole list of A celebrities who are being implicated. And then you ask yourself, when people have all the fame in the world, when they have all the money in the world, why is it that they engage in such things? And I keep coming back to one thing, a crisis of meaning, crisis of meaning. We have to understand that somebody gave life to us. Life is a gift. Amen. We hear a lot about human rights. But before you can speak about human rights, you have to speak about the God who gave you life. Hallelujah. Let's begin there. What about his rights? What is the right of the God who is the source of all life? If he is the source of life, we can only find the meaning of our lives in him. Praise God. The one who made us. But people are trying to find meaning in life by telling God, no, you don't exist. I'm not talking to you. I am a citizen of the USA or the United Kingdom or Japan, and I have rights according to my constitution. And you know what they find out afterwards? Their constitution and their human rights do not make them happy. They're plunged into this abyss, this terrible mist of meaninglessness. And it kills people. Meaninglessness kills people. Because God said, man shall not live by bread alone. He forbade it. Who is foolish to challenge the God who gave us life when he says man shall not live by bread alone? It's forbidden. We are here because we take this command seriously. We know that meaning is not found in bread alone. Meaning is not found in potatoes. Meaning is not found in meat. Meaning is not found in entertainment. Meaning is found in the God who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. We need to turn to him. And this is what we're doing today. We go through life looking for the ultimate meaning of life. You know, as children, there was a time that we were convinced that our parents must be the meaning of life, isn't it? They fed us, they watched over us, they showered us with unconditional love. And you think, this is it. You adore your parents. They are everything. But we gradually realize that the parents have their limitations, they have their weaknesses. And then the day comes when you sadly realize my parents are not the meaning of life. Every parent wishes that their children will be satisfied with them, isn't it? But you know, one day they will realize their parents are not the meaning of life. So a child experiences the first serious existential crisis. So if my parents cannot satisfy all my needs, what is the meaning of life? Praise God. Then, you know, a child grows up, becomes a teenager, meets good friends, especially as teenagers. They love their friends because their friends do not judge them, do not criticize them. They may not give them good advice. They say, I accept you the way you are. So they love their friends and they think that they have found meaning, the meaning of life in their friends. I wish some young people are listening to me today. But then they find out, they discover the second existential crisis hits them. They realize, no, sadly, my friends are not the meaning of life. Although the book of Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. How true, how true. We appreciate good parents. We appreciate good friends. But the sooner one discovers, the sooner one understands that they are not the meaning of life. Parents, friends are only stepping stones. They are a scaffolding that you climb upon. So every building has a scaffolding, right? When it's under construction. What is the purpose of the scaffolding? The scaffolding is only there for the workers to climb up, do the work until they reach the top, isn't it? And one day, once the building is finished, the scaffolding is gone. Everyone we meet in life, everything we experience in life, brothers and sisters, is supposed to be a scaffolding to climb upon so that we will find Jesus. Hallelujah. If we understand this, we will never be disappointed in anybody. Everyone is just playing a role, as William Shakespeare said in As You Like It. All the world's a stage. Amen. And everyone is an actor playing a role. So Everything is there for us to discover Jesus, to find Jesus. This is the meaning of living. This is what you are alive for. Otherwise, life will be an agonizing mystery until the day you die. The worst life to live is the one where a person one day at the end of their lives will wake up and find, I didn't understand this puzzle called life. I didn't understand. Life has gone so quickly. There were times I felt that I was just about to say, aha, this is the meaning of life. And then it evades you. You lose that opportunity. It can be so elusive. The meaning of life is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So simple, so easy for anyone to understand, including a child. But yet, how many people today have accepted the words of Jesus? Every time I hear about human lives that have been wrecked by terrible decisions, by sin, I have to conclude another life that did not listen to the words of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. How different would so many lives look today if they only believed this and accepted Jesus? When I sometimes stop it before I board a plane or you're at an airport or a train station, and I look at these big screens. You know, you land at an airport like Heathrow in the UK, probably the world's busiest airport. And I sometimes just want to take a picture just to look at all the departures, places that I haven't heard of. They just go on and on and on and on and on. And I tell myself, so many ways people are departing. Some are going to Kathmandu. Some are going to this place. Some are going to Bhutan. Some people are going to Buenos Aires. So many ways. This is how life is for people today. Everyone has his own way. But there is only one way. Praise God. One departure to heaven. It's called Jesus. Hallelujah. And we don't have that much time to find that way. We get a few decades to find that way. Praise God. Our job, brothers and sisters, as long as we live, is to tell people this is the way. Come here, please. You're on the wrong way. You're on the wrong road. That road will lead to disaster. It will lead to misery. Every road except the road that is Jesus has fire burning at the end of it. Who wants to drive down a road where there is fire at the end of the road? Not me. But why is it so many people are taking this road? Broad is that road, isn't it? Many there be that walk upon it. But very few walk on this road called Jesus. We are walking on this road called Jesus. Hallelujah. Only one road has that sign, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still driving down this road? Are you still on this road called Jesus? Hallelujah. Or have you left? You know, there are exits. Satan will make exits. He will tempt you. He will test you. Stay on this road. I am the way. Jesus is a way. He's a highway. He's the only road we travel upon. Hallelujah. Do not take an exit. Stay on this road. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, I talked about parents. Then I talked about friends. They all leave us. They say goodbye. We say goodbye often to our parents at a certain age. We may go to their funeral. Our friends may marry, move on, change locations, or you may do it. Life goes on. You see, none of these things are supposed to be permanent. Everything is a scaffolding. Stay with me. Scaffolding. A scaffolding. It's temporary. Some people want to hug the scaffolding. They refuse to leave the scaffolding. They want to believe the scaffolding is everything. No. The scaffolding has to be taken down. It will be transported away. Too many people are holding on to scaffoldings. God have mercy. Too many people love the temporary things. Too many people are infatuated with the temporary. I want the real thing, the real deal. We need the building, not the scaffolding. Parents will come and go. Friends will come and go. Even those who embark upon some years of education at the university, you know that after few years, it's over. But they cling to it. They want to believe this is it. But it's transient. It's fleeting. You will soon say goodbye to it. Hallelujah. We realize after some time, sometimes a bit late for some people, these things are not the meaning of life. In the end, all you will have is pictures and some album to look back upon. And you become nostalgic. That was my childhood friend. Look at how young my father looked when I was 12 years old. That was my neighbor. That was my neighbor's dog. And then after some time, that was my first year at the university, freshman year. Oh, that is when I graduated. And then, you know, there's a lump in your throat because you begin to feel that sadness, yeah? The sadness which says, all is vanity. Everything's like a little cloud, a vapor that appears and disappears. Oh, I wish I could go back in time. I wish it would last up to now, all the way to now. But no, say with me, these are scaffoldings. There are too many people worshiping scaffoldings. Too many people holding on to scaffoldings. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. Praise God. Without knowing the meaning of life, we are left frustrated. We are left confused, even afraid and depressed. You know, not everyone is called upon to consider or to solve a mathematical problem. But everyone at some point wonders about the puzzle that is life. Amen. Everyone. The most foolish people are those who never stop and ask themselves, what is the meaning of life? That is stupidity. God expects us to find out, to ask about the meaning of life. We are made to find meaning. Praise God. So if a person just says, it's nothing, not important, you know, I'm just living, you know, for the everyday, the now is the most important. I'm going to ignore everything. God will say, you foolish person. Remember, the person was very rich, laid up all the treasures and said, soul, soul, I will do this, I will do that. You know why God said, tonight your soul will be required of thee? Because God saw that this person will never ask about the meaning of life. This person had no plans to inquire about God. So God, so you know, in other words, God is waiting for us at some point to ask, what is the meaning of life? And if you think the meaning of life is to accumulate wealth and money, God will say, thou fool. Tonight thy soul will be required of thee. Whose then shall these riches be? So he said, this will be the condition, right? The judgment upon those who are not rich towards God. Are we rich towards God? That's the question today. Are we rich towards God? Amen. If we are only rich towards the flesh, God have mercy. We're in big trouble. I trust you are rich towards God. Then you have meaning in your life. Let's read the scriptures, in fact, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, from verse 16. Listen carefully. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. So let it be written, so let it be done. Praise God. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. May God make us rich toward him. It is okay if you are poor in the material things of this world, but the greatest tragedy is to be poor towards God, because everyone can be rich towards God. Very often it's the poor in material things who are the richest towards God, and vice versa. The richest in material things in this world are the poorest towards God. Think about it. I would rather prefer to be poor in the material things of this world, but rich toward God, because how long are you going to enjoy the fruit of your labor? In this part of the world, they allow us to be pensioned at the age of 62, 3, 4 and above. In my job, at the age of 70, 70, I thought about it some time ago. At the age of 70, I will be pensioned. Unless God grants me good health, fantastic health, I don't even know how my condition will be when I'm 75 or 80. It's really weird the way we've accepted, you know, work all your lives, you know, and pay your taxes all the way to 70. And then enjoy your pension. And you leave your office looking like the hunchback of Notre Dame, bent over with all kinds of aches in your body, with maybe five different diseases, God forbid. And you're supposed to enjoy your pension. No, thank you. I pray God will give us good health and we will be able to live to 100 years like former President Jimmy Carter. But I saw him in a wheelchair. God bless his soul, but I said, I wonder what condition he's in. So, if you say I've worked to 70, I'm going to enjoy my riches. Firstly, there's no guarantee you're going to live to 70. Secondly, there's no guarantee. There are very few who have good health to enjoy. Let's be rich towards God. Amen. Now is the time. While we have good health, while we are strong, give your strength to Jesus. Give your years for Jesus. I really pity the young people who are wasting their years. They do not give anything to Jesus. That is a terrible decision young people make. God have mercy upon your soul. Give the best years of your life to Jesus. Because you're going to have enough problems when you get old, and you don't want to add to those problems the sorrow and the regret that you did not give your years to Jesus. Give the best that you have to Jesus now. Later, we give the peanuts to ourselves, but give the best to Jesus. Give him the first fruits. That's why the children of Israel would come with the first fruits. God doesn't want the leftovers. He wants the first and the best. The firstborn. He wants the firstborn. Do you know that research has shown? And think about the people you know, that the firstborn in every family often achieve the most. They're still trying to find out why. Nobody can really give a conclusive answer. But it's known that the firstborn statistically seem to achieve more. There are different theories. They take more responsibility because they are the eldest in the family, the culture, etc., expects them. They have to protect the others. Whatever the theory is, the fact is, the firstborn, sorry if you're not the firstborn in your family, but the firstborns are known to achieve the most. So God, it makes sense that God is saying, give me the firstborn. Israel is my firstborn. Hallelujah. Pharaoh, you cannot keep my strength. You cannot keep my firstborn. If you do not give me my firstborn, I will kill your firstborn. An eye for an eye, firstborn for a firstborn. That's why every firstborn in Egypt died. Give to God his firstborn. Amen. Give to God the best of your years. Give to God the best of your mind. Give to God the best of your energy. Give to God the best. Hallelujah. And he will bless you. Whether he blesses even or not is not the question. He is God. He deserves the firstborn. Because he is God, he must be honored as God. You must bring the first fruits to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us continue. Some people say, I've had a good life or I've had a bad life. But the question is not, what kind of life have you had? The question is, what is the meaning of life? The first answer to these questions is that God is life. Let us say, God is life. God is life. The book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 28 says, for in him we live. Somebody say, in him we live. I don't know where you live, but I live in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we say, I live, say, in him we live. Where should your address be? Say, Jesus. In him we live. In him. Praise God. There are all kinds of addresses on this earth, but they will all be destroyed because God will destroy this earth. But if you live in him, in Jesus, that's the only address that will never be destroyed. Do you have an indestructible address? Praise God. Say, yes, I have an indestructible address. It's called Jesus. I live in him. Hallelujah. Whatever the address you have, it is susceptible to earthquakes, to hurricanes. It is susceptible to all sorts of problems. It is susceptible, even if no calamities, natural calamities, acts of God destroy it, time will destroy your address. But the one address in which we live, in whom we live, is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That is why we live forever in Jesus, because he is our address. Say, in him we live. Where do you live? That's why Jesus came to take the apostles to live with him. Jesus doesn't come to live in your house. He comes to take you to live with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. He took them with him. They said, where do you live? We live in him. He said, come and see. Hallelujah. Come and see. Have you seen where God lives? Have you been to where God lives? Praise God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is my address. Can you say Jesus is my address? In him we live and move and have our being. Praise God. All life is from God and in God. Do you know that the word itself, enthusiasm, comes from two words, entheos. It means to be in God. So in the old days, they would say when somebody is excited, passionate, that person is entheos, enthusiastic. That person is in God. Ha! Huh. Are you in God? Is the life of God in you? So I'm enthusiastic. Entheos. That's the meaning of enthusiastic. In God. The person is in God. And when a person is in God, the world recognizes it and they say, that person is enthusiastic. Hallelujah. I hope you are enthusiastic today. Praise God. You feel I am in God. I live in him. Jesus is my address. Praise Jesus. Because if Jesus is your address, you will never be defeated. Sadness, depression, emptiness cannot live with you because you are going to live in Jesus. You know, sadness, depression, such things, they always love to accompany those people who are going to the wrong places, isn't it? It comes and says, hello, where are you going today? I'm going to the pub. Oh, I love to go to the pub, says depression. By the way, are you going alone? Yes. Can I bring my friend, whose name is Sadness also, and his friend, Loneliness, and his friend, praise God, hallelujah, in Jesus. But if you tell depression, where are you going, says depression? I'm going in Christ, in him. Not today. When are you leaving him? They will not join you. Depression does not like to live in Christ. So Paul said, in him we live. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Where do we live? Say, in him. Praise God. In him we live. Oh, glory be to God. You know, even when I'm saying it, you feel the passion. You feel the spirit of Jesus because we are living in him. We like to say, Jesus came to live in me. Excuse me. The spirit of God is everywhere. How are we so bold to say he came to live in me? You are living in him. The spirit of God is everywhere. We are living in him. Praise Jesus. God is not dependent on us to live. We are dependent on him to live. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. If I can invite you for a moment, close your eyes for a moment, please. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath with me. Take a deep breath. Do you know what we just did? You see, all life is from God. Amen. Outside of God, there is no life. In other words, everyone is living in God. But not everyone is aware of this fact. I want to tell you there are two ways of living. Two lives. Say two lives. When we just took a deep breath, it is the Spirit of God which circulates life into your body, isn't it? When our time comes to leave this body and to leave this world, what happens? God stops living in the body, isn't it? Because in the beginning, there was a man called Adam. What happened? God breathed into him. And then his heart started to beat from that moment. Why? Because God is our, we have the life of God. Amen? Every creature alive, brothers and sisters, is living because of God. That is why it's a great, great sin to say there is no God. Blasphemy to say there is no God. It's horrible to say there is no God. It is a height of ingratitude to say there is no God. We say thank you to somebody who gives you some food, gives you a drink. And we are not saying thank you to the God who is breathing in us from the day we are born. God have mercy. We have to teach people to stop saying there is no God. This is blasphemy. This is one of the greatest sins of the West. The fool has said there is no God. God have mercy. The judgment of God comes because of that. We must be forever grateful. Every time you take a breath, brothers and sisters, it is the mercy of God. If you ask me, how do I know God is merciful to me? Take a breath. Take a breath with me. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Did he not say to this man, thy soul will be required of thee tonight, you fool? God will stop allowing this man to get the benefit of his breath in his lungs. Give me back my breath, God says. God is the source of life. I'm speaking about the first life, including for animals. Anything that breathes, you are borrowing the breath of God. Hallelujah. It's enough reason to serve God. It's enough reason to fall down before him and say, my Lord and my God, I'm dependent upon you. If you know what God is or who God is or what he does, you cannot not appreciate him and thank him and live carefully with him. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to show mercy, to walk humbly, to love mercy, walk humbly with thy God, hallelujah, to do justly. It's his command. Remember the valley of Ezekiel with the dead bones? How long were they dead? Generations, perhaps. But you know what God said? Can these bones live? Son of man, Ezekiel. Even he was daunted. He said, Lord, only you know. Prophesy. That means take my breath and put my breath into these bones, praise God. And suddenly, when he began to prophesy, the breath of God began to come into these bones. Muscle came together with muscle and bone with bone. And before long, there was an army. Hallelujah. God is a source of life. God never worries about death. He's a God of life and death. Amen. Say, in him we live. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. I'm speaking about the most important things. The most important thing. The meaning of life. Say simply, the meaning of life is Jesus. He is your breath. He gives you the ability to have consciousness. Without breath, there is no consciousness. That is what makes you, you, and me, me. And the world, what it is, God breathes. Hallelujah. Let us appreciate the life of God. We don't have life in ourselves. We borrow it from God. We borrow it from him. So, we need to understand this. In him, we live. There is no other life. Satan never gave life to anybody. Satan can only lead people to do things where God takes away their lives. That's all he does. Even he doesn't have power to take your life. Only the life belongs to God. Please understand what I'm trying to say. Somebody says, oh, Satan killed him. Satan cannot kill anybody. He doesn't have power over life. God is life. Life belongs to God. But Satan and the flesh may cause us to do things where God says, I have to take away your life. So, but it's not Satan's life. So why do we get afraid of Satan? Why do we give him so much credit? Life is in the hands of Jesus. Praise God. He is the God of life. Jesus said, let me show you whom you should fear. Don't fear them who kill the body only and cannot do anything more. Fear him who, after he has killed the body, is able to destroy the soul in him. Let us fear him. Let us fear him. Praise God. Do you appreciate God for all these things? The simple things in life, the free things in life, are the most important. You know, they now bottle water, which is made by God free, and they sell it to us. All that God made free, they are now trying to sell to us. Thank God they cannot bottle life and sell to us. Would you like to buy a bottle of life? God have mercy. Humans will never reach that point. They even want to sell oxygen in bottles. Yeah? You want to climb Mount Himalaya? When I went to Nepal, there was a guy in a tourist place trying to sell some cylinders. And I never had somebody sell cylinder to me. I said, well, what are you trying to sell this cylinder? He said, maybe you came here to climb Mount Himalaya, Mount Everest. And the moment he said it, then everything made sense. He said, there is oxygen we are selling. I said, oxygen, wow. No. I didn't come here to buy oxygen to climb Mount Everest. But I came to tell people about the life, eternal life. Jesus, I wish I had a bottle like this with eternal life to give all of them in Jesus' name. With Jesus, hallelujah. But we can't do that. You have to receive it by the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Because one of these days you have to climb up to Mount Everest, which is heaven. And the only way you can climb up there, you've got to have a bottle from Jesus, hallelujah. A bottle of life from Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. This is the cylinder that we should be giving people in Jesus' name. Sorry to call it a cylinder, but I'm trying to make an analogy. It's weird what people are selling in this world. This market fundamentalism, where soon everything is commodified and, you know, commercialized. Everything is for sale. There's even a book I have called Everything is for Sale. Even the gospel, some corrupt ministries are trying to sell the gospel. The gospel is not for sale. It is free. Say the gospel is free. It's always free. In Jesus' name. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. Jesus' life is the most precious thing. He gave it free. Make sure it's always free. On our website, we do not sell anything. God have mercy upon the person who tries to take a sermon or a message or a podcast. Do you know, we don't even put our names on it because we acknowledge it's not ours. It's from Jesus. Some time ago, I heard somebody say somebody is selling something. Look, we don't sell anything. Brother Paul doesn't sell anything in Jesus' name, never. And if anybody sells anything, we bind that in Jesus' name because we believe strongly the things of God are not for sale. There is no price you can pay for it. Amen. It belongs to Jesus. He gave it to us free. We receive from him. Give it free to the people of God. Hallelujah. So the life of Jesus is free. Somebody say he gave his life free. Did Jesus charge anything? Did he ever ask anybody to pay anything? Never. Praise God. So coming back to the message, I want to wrap it up soon, but Paul says we live in him. When our time comes to leave this body in this world, God stops living in this body. This is the first and the greatest lesson of life. To live is to discover that we live in God. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Now, that was the first life. While God, who is a spirit, is a life in which we have our being, we sinned against him. In the Old Testament, imagine now everybody in the Old Testament is breathing the life of God. But what happened? They sinned against that life. Imagine the life breathing in you, which came from God. Adam and Eve said, we are equal to this life. We shall be like God. That is to sin against life. God is life. So God said, you will die. See, it makes sense. To sin against God is to sin against life. Are you with me? See the connection. In other words, God was giving them life. No one else can give you life. And then you say, I can be like this God. God said, really? Okay, I will take away my life. Let's see if you can now live eternally by yourself. And Adam and Eve found out, no, they died. Although he lived to the age of 930 years. 930 years God was breathing in him. Wow. Imagine living 930 years. Imagine celebrating 930 Christmases. God. No, what am I? Yeah. That's crazy. Imagine living that long. Wow. God is able to keep you alive forever and ever and ever. You know, God is showing us. Methuselah, 969 years. It's nothing for God to keep you alive forever. But they sinned against the life that was in them. That's why death came. The day you eat of this tree. Why? Because to eat of it is to say, I don't care about the life that is in me. So you don't deserve that life. That's a connection. Amen. See if you can now live forever without the life of God breathing in you. No. We'll be dead. Without him, we are nothing. I always say that, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Nothing means really nothing. I don't even exist. In him, we live and move and have our being. Praise God. Praise God. All human beings are only breathing and living in God the Spirit, but we lost the meaning of life. That's why Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separated us from the meaning of life. And so we became desperate again. That's the meaning of being naked. Became naked. We became panicked. Oh my goodness. I didn't even know I was naked. I was covered by the life of God, the glory of God. What did I do? Can you imagine, for the first time in hundreds of years, Adam and Eve felt shame? You know, normally when you feel shame, it's because shame comes from other people, isn't it? From society. Shame, guilt. Oh, what will they say? There was nobody. Just these two. Why did they feel shame? It was a new emotion. It was not the emotion God made in the beginning. They felt joy, peace, goodness, happiness, kindness. These are the emotions God made. We introduce a new emotion. God have mercy. Talk about people who shoot themselves in their own feet. Introduced a new emotion which God had nothing to do with. What are you feeling? Shame. Oh, I don't know what this feeling is. It's horrible. I don't even want to show myself. Who are you hiding from? Only from God. Only from God. Every time you feel shame, remember the first time we felt shame was towards God. We sinned against him. Doesn't matter if human beings, don't worry about feeling shame towards human beings. Worry about feeling shame towards God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Today, human beings feel no shame when they do many wicked things. Sometimes I read the newspaper and I can't believe what the newspapers are showing and talking about. There's no, the shame is no longer shame. Because God is not a part of people's lives anymore. So be careful of the shame of this world. We need to feel shame towards God. We need to feel a sense of our consciousness being pricked. May God help you to understand what I'm saying. It is for this reason God was manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. The first life was contaminated, brothers and sisters. So God had to do something. Because remember what he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God will always make sure there is pure life. He will never allow us to contaminate his life. He will produce pure life, sinless life for us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. A new chance. God's now giving us life through his flesh and blood. Oh, somebody say, wow, that is wonderful. Why did God come, take upon himself flesh and blood? Because now we corrupted the old life of God. So now he has to come with a new way of bringing clean life to us. I'm trying to use another language to help you to understand. You know, I'm speaking about the two lives. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's the same God, the same life. But now God has to come with life through flesh and blood. Before, he did not need to come with flesh and blood. Everything was okay until we sinned against that life. So now the word was made flesh and blood. And we have to eat it in order to have new life. Ah, praise God. Does it make sense? Oh, praise God. That is why the gospel comes in. Jesus says, John 6, verses 53 to 56, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Somebody say, you have no life without his flesh and blood. Ah, give me this life, Jesus. Because now the old life doesn't help. You're just breathing, that's all. Your heart is pumping. You're no different than an animal. That old life is obsolete. It is invalid. You need new life. Say new life. New life. Praise God. And that new life also came through God. Because this flesh and blood is not outside of God. It is God's own flesh and blood. The book of Acts chapter 20 verse 28 says it. Feed the flock of God which he purchased with his own blood. So now God is giving us life through his flesh and blood. It's not enough just through the spirit like in the old days. Because we contaminated. We didn't contaminate the spirit of God, but we contaminated that blessing that flowed through into us by believing we can be equal to that life. John 6:54, whosoever eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55 and 56 says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So let me summarize, put everything together here. The meaning of life must be discovered twice. The first time is when we understand that we actually live in God. So the atheist today has to discover God twice. You live in God. He is the source of all life. Because the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. After this discovery, a new discovery awaits, to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Sin destroyed the old meaning of life, but Jesus took that sin upon him. This is why one cannot come to the Father without entering through Jesus, who is the flesh and blood of the Father. The same God who gave us life and meaning through his spirit now gives us meaning through his flesh and blood. In other words, the spirit, flesh, and blood is life. 1 John 5 verse 8 says, there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Hallelujah. Finally, let me say, life cannot be described only. It must be experienced. I can describe Jesus all day for you, but you and I must experience him to truly understand him. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. So how can you receive this Jesus, this eternal life into your soul? To begin with, believe that God is one and alone. There is no Trinity. God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the greatest of all commands. Never say, holy or blessed Trinity. That is not the first command. That to say holy Trinity, whatever, is not even in the Bible. We are not commanded to say it. We are commanded to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Be satisfied with Moses. Be satisfied with Jesus, who said in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, 9 and 29 and 30, when they asked him, what is the greatest of all commands? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Bible says, at two or three witnesses, every matter will be settled with two or three witnesses. You have Moses, you have Jesus. Be satisfied. Amen. Then, the Bible said there are no gods with him. Next, believe that the same God was manifested in the flesh and his name is Jesus. The same God. Say with me, the same God. Not, Jesus is not another God. He's the same God who spoke to Moses and said, I am that I am. The same God who spoke to Daniel, the same God who spoke to all the prophets, he's the same God who was manifest in the flesh. He's the same God who kicked Satan out of heaven. That's why when they saw Jesus, the demons in the synagogue, what did they say? I know thee who thou art. I know you. We've met before. He didn't say, oh, the second member of the Trinity. He didn't say that. He said, I know you who you are, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of God. Praise God. The spiritual world knows. They never had confusion about who Jesus. They know he's Jehovah come in flesh. The same I am. Hallelujah. Jesus died for our sins and rose up the third day. Now be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness and remission of your sins. After which the Lord will fill you with his Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. John 20:22 says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Who gives the Holy Ghost? Jesus. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the God who gives the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus bless you. Let me conclude again by saying, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be satisfied with Jesus. Do not look beyond Jesus. The Star of Bethlehem stopped with Jesus. Be satisfied to stop at Jesus. Don't go beyond. That's where you find all these confusing doctrines. But the Star stopped at Bethlehem. Paul said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him. You don't need anyone else. When they said, where is the Father? You see, they want to go beyond Bethlehem. Jesus said, have I been so long time? Have I? Amen. Be satisfied with Jesus. Ask for no one else except Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. When you find Jesus, you don't need anyone else. If you're not satisfied with Jesus, then you haven't found God. But those who meet Jesus, they know. Like Paul. Whom did Paul meet in his whole life? He only met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Whom did Peter meet? He only met Jesus on the lake shore of the Lake Galilee. Whom did John meet when he went up to heaven from Patmos? He met Jesus, who said, I am Alpha, I am Omega. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm A to Z. Imagine if I go to the alphabet and I say, alphabet, I'm not happy with A to Z. I'm looking for another alphabet. You know what the alphabet will say to you? Excuse me. Maybe you need to go to another language, because in the English language, there's nothing beyond A to Z. The Americans say A to Z. A to Z, A to Z, whatever you say, but there's nothing more than that. Amen? So anything you want in English, when you want to construct a sentence or word, you have to stick to A to Z. Amen? Otherwise, you're not speaking English. So what Jesus is saying is everything you need for communication, everything you need for understanding, everything you need to make a word, sentence, meaning, it is found in Jesus only. Praise God. This is Alpha and Omega. Oh, hallelujah. If we go outside Alpha and Omega, we're in the Tower of Babel. We don't understand each other. Then we are speaking funny things. Then we would say Trinity, dual nature, Constantinople. Excuse me. Stick to Alpha and Omega. Jesus. He is what we talk about. Don't go outside the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you write your language, you have to just use A to Z, isn't it? You can't go outside. So anything you want to make, you know, the English language is complex. Yeah, you can play poetry with it. You can all kinds of genres. But you have to stick between A to Z. In the same way, hallelujah, you need to understand Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. If somebody speaks outside of Jesus, they're not speaking the language of God. They're speaking another language. If for us, it's Babel, Babel. Hallelujah. Jesus bless. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word once again. We are not worthy of the least of your mercies, my God. You have been good to us. You've blessed us. You've given us life twice. You first allowed us to live and breathe. And then you saved us. You gave us eternal life through you, through your flesh and blood and your spirit. You are indeed the Alpha and Omega. Everything we do, in word or deed, we do it in the name of Jesus. We repent in the name of Jesus. We are saved in the name of Jesus. We gather in the name of Jesus. We pray, we fast in the name of Jesus. We eat in the name of Jesus. We go to bed and sleep in the name of Jesus. Everything is in you, Jesus. We thank you today. Wash us with your blood. Cover us with your grace. Help us to be fruitful for your name's sake. Send us out among the nations as you're doing now. Bless this message as it's recorded and uploaded. Let nations continue to come from all over the world to hear the word of God. We thank you that you have counted us among your servants so we can do your work. Bless us. Bless everybody that is here today. I pray that you carry their burdens, Jesus. I pray that you will bless them. I pray that they will fulfill the purpose for which you call them. I pray you alleviate their burdens in Jesus' name, that they may have a new song to sing in their hearts to glorify you. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the journey. You are that train that is off to a particular destination, heaven, the new Jerusalem. We will not leave this train. We will stay in this train. We bless you today. You are the meaning of our lives. We pray for the young with us, Lord. I pray that they will find all of this to be true, that they will find Jesus to be the meaning in their lives. Let them surrender their lives to you, dedicate their lives to you. Be the meaning in their lives, Jesus, we beseech you. All this we pray in your mighty name, in Jesus' holy name. And the church says, Amen, amen, amen. Jesus bless you.